Blog Talk Radio.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No. Thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say
church.
God has spoken.
God has spoken.
Well, well.
Let the church say, let the church say, amen. Oh, I need you to say, when your dream's about to die, knowing that God is not a man, he just can't lie. In spite of what the devil does,
for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Bishop Marvin Winans this morning. And let the church say amen. Hallelujah. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. When God speaks, we just simply going to agree. We're going to say amen. Yeah, and be done with it. No ifs, ands, but, no. God has spoken, and we the church, we're just going to say amen, hallelujah, our simple amen and be done, because we know that God's word holds truth. Yeah, his word holds truth over and over and over again. Yeah, I often used to tell my brother, I said, well, one thing about the word of God, you can't bust it up with a pipe, you can't take a brick and break it up, it's solid. And it's a foundation we can stand on. And after standing, we can stand some more on his word because it holds true. And what he set out for his word to do is going to do just that. His word won't return void. It won't return empty. Oh, yeah. If I witness and use the word, somebody's going to be saved. If I speak healing from his word according to his word, with the strike, whatever his word says, if any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Guess what? You're going to be healed if you believe. Oh, it's all right this morning in Jesus' name. It's already all right this morning. Hallelujah. Because guess what? He was up way before we got up. He slumbers not sleep. His eyes are in every place. He's the holy, the evil, and the good right now. He knows what you're doing right now. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. Intercessors, I want to ask y'all to pray for Sherry, that she, Balua's wife, that she won't have any more surgeries. Yeah, that's his request today. He had to run this morning to take her to the orthopedic doctor. So he said, please pray for no more surgery. Yeah, so that's what we're praying for today for Sister Sherry. Yeah, Brother Louis White again. And so we know that God is able. He's a healer. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. The lame can walk again. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. Yeah. Hallelujah. He gave us that power. Uh-huh. And we have faith and trust in God. Not in the doctor, not in medicine, and not in us. We go to the doctor, we take medicine. But our faith and trust and hope is in Jesus. Hallelujah. The author and finisher of our faith. Yeah. All of this is in the Father God, Almighty God, Jehovah, that have all power. There's no higher power today. So if we go into all power, he's got the ability. There's nothing too hard for him to do. I believe he's willing this morning. If we'll go to him, he's willing to fix and do whatever we need to have done. Hallelujah. I said no matter what, I'm going to serve him. No matter what, I'm going to continue to work unto him. No matter what, I'm going to keep believing and keep trusting him. I've come too far today to turn around. I've come from 1993 to 2022. I can't turn around. He's done too much for me. I know too much about him now. Yeah, I know too much about him, and I'm so thankful this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful unto him that he gave me the opportunity to come to him. Yeah, the day I heard the word, I didn't harden my heart. Yeah, that particular day, I didn't know what to do, which way to turn. Yeah. And it come to me, you know, in other words, you've tried everything else, try prayer. I had tried marijuana. I had tried Crown Royal, you see. Kvasia and all this stuff. I had tried this foolishness. It did nothing for me. Now, it was never for me to try cocaine, and it was never for me to try heroin. I knew those things that I knew automatically they were not the answer. I had saw the evidence of what that had done for people, and it didn't bring them peace. It took them further out somewhere, messed them up more. I knew better than to try crack cocaine because I saw what it had done to people. Yeah. And then when I smoked marijuana, I know how it made me feel, and I'm not a down person. I'm an upbeat person. Yeah. Automatically, on my own, God made me that way. Not a downer, but an up. And so I couldn't do the marijuana. The Crown Royal, the Kvasia and stuff like that, it made me feel off balance. I wasn't in control. I couldn't do that either. I had to let that go. Hallelujah. Oh, but that great day. I was at the window looking out. And I began to just talk. And I said this, God, I don't know if you're real. I said, I want to believe you're real, but I don't really know. I said, but if you are real, I want to be just as real as you are in you. In other words, I wanted the truth. I wanted to be real. I did not want to be fake. And guess what happened? The next thing I know, I'm praying prayers like this. Let me die so you can live. Huh? Let the flesh of Barbara die so that Almighty God could live in me. Well, my friend Faith, we ended up at this church, she and I, you would have to know her. We ended up at this church, and he taught me quite a few things. Then there was time to move on to the next church, and I moved there, and that's where I stayed. And he taught me quite well. And what he taught me, I would put it into action. I would apply what he taught to see if it was real. Yeah, I believed it was, but I wasn't quite sure he was. And what he was telling me was from God or if it was from him, but I soon found out. One thing about him, he gave me what God said. He taught me how to love folk. Yeah. And he taught me how to treat people and all this kind of thing. And he taught me what Jesus, you know how they say what Jesus would do? And it wasn't no cliche. It wasn't no saying that just sound good. But he really taught me the things that Jesus did and what he still is doing. Hallelujah. And so I grew from there. I grew from there. And then God sent me back home to Florida. And in my coming here, I could not find what I had in Birmingham that caused me to fully grow in God. I'm talking about, I searched all over. I just couldn't find it. I ended up over to a place that they call 910 Livingston Street. A friend of mine, she said, that's where you need to go because that's the kind of church that you like. It was a church of God in Christ. And they called it 910 Livingston Street. And I went over there with Pastor Chenault. And I didn't stay there long. I was just there for one Sunday. And God used me over there, even used me to minister to Pastor Chenault. And but they had the kind of church service somewhat I was used to, but it wasn't the same. It just wasn't that real one. It just wasn't all together in there. See, because the bishop, the senior bishop, he believed in letting go and just let God have his way. Yes, yes. And so we had some wonderful times. And then this man, they could say what they want about him, but the people that had become connected to his ministry, he prayed for these folks and he stayed in prayer. Now today they're talking about prophecy and prophets. But Charles C. Woods was one of the greatest prophets I ever known. And I was going, God sent another prophetess by, her name was Rita Gauthier. I'll never forget this woman. And she and a friend of mine, Sandra Billings, was friends. And so they come by, and we all used to go to noonday prayer together. And so they come by, and when Rita came in, she said, listen, God told me to tell you to pack your bag. You got to go. She said, now pack some boxes. You got to go. And she told me about a situation that was going on in my life. And she gave me Psalms 105 and Psalms, I believe, 119. And they went on, and then Bishop came and picked me up, and we went to noonday prayer. And when we got to noonday prayer, now Bishop did not know Rita had been by my house. He didn't know nothing about this. And when we got to noonday prayer, he said, Barbara Mack, he said, God told me to tell you to pack it up. You're leaving. You're sending you back home. He said, pack it up. Rita didn't tell me I was going back to Florida. She just told me to pack them boxes. God was sending me out of there. Well, he told me that, let's say that was on a Tuesday. I had a women's meeting to speak to that Sunday, and I had told him, I said, Bishop, I have to get out of here this Sunday at 2 o'clock, I said, because I promised Sister Deborah, because Sister Deborah was a member of another church, and she played piano, but she would come to our church after they church on Sunday, because we church late. So I said, Bishop, I'm going over here and speak for Sister Deborah. I said, because she invited me for their Women's Day to be the guest speaker. He said, okay. Well, when that Sunday come, and it was close to 2 o'clock, I always sat on the front row, in the middle row of the church. And right where all the heat was, you know, right where all the fire was, right where all the anointed flow looked like to me. And so I was getting my purse and my Bible thing, and he saw it. And I got up, and I was headed out the door, closer to, more to the left side, because it was three rows of pews, the far left, the middle pew, and the far right. So I was closer to the far left, and I was getting ready to go out the door. He said, Barbara Mack, before you leave, let me tell you this. I said, okay, and I turned around. Right where I was at now, I turned around. I didn't go all the way up to the altar. He said, God told me to tell you he's sending you back to Florida. And he said, God also told me to tell you how you going to know where he wants you to be. He's going to give you a White House. When you get there, he's going to give you between $3,000 and $4,000. He said, go on and praise him. And I went on praising him on out the door, you know, took my car to go over to the other church to speak. Well, I started getting boxes and packing and this and that. And I got a phone call. My third oldest son, he had hepatitis. He bought some blue crabs from off the side of the road, cooked them and ate them, and it made him sick. So he ended up in the hospital. So he was calling for me, you know. I'm in Alabama. He in Florida. He's calling for his mama. He grown now, but he calling for his mama. So I had to come and see about him. So when I came, my oldest son said, well, why don't you stay, mama? You can stay with me until you get straight, yada, yada, yada. I said, okay. So I left the children, my three daughters, went back to Birmingham, started packing. Well, I should say finishing up the packing. And well, while I was in Florida, I looked for a house, and I found this White House. And I talked to the owner, and he said, I usually wouldn't do this. He said, I usually wouldn't do it. He said, but for you, I'm going to let you have this house. Beautiful little white, cute little house with enough room for me and my three daughters and my son. So my oldest daughter come, and she said, I want to bless you. I said, okay. $4,000. Now Bishop said the White House at between $3,000 and $4,000. That's what he said. So when I found the White House, I knew that was God. I said, oh yeah, we're gonna stay here. When she offered me the money, I said, yeah, go on and take that quickly, because that's God. That's what he said. I went back, finished my packing up. A lady owed me some money, and she owed me for over like a year or two. And when I got ready to ship the last of the boxes, because I wasn't keeping no furniture, no nothing. I packed our clothes and important things we, you know, needed, and sentimental things that I knew the children would want. And I was shipping boxes, shipping it. So the last couple of boxes, I ran out of money. Now, I had the ticket to get back to Florida, but I did not have money to ship these boxes. I didn't know if it was going to be extra boxes to ship. I laid in the bed because I hadn't gave my furniture away yet. And I was praying, and I just laid on in the bed, and I hear the knock at the door. And I go to the door, and it's her. She said, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you, but every time I come by, you're not here. I said, girl, I've been to Florida, and I've been hanging out with the senior bishop. She said, well, you did my taxes, and you know, you had to amend them, so it took longer, and I am just getting my taxes. She said, I've held on to the tax check, the tax refund check, look at this, until I paid you your money. I was like to myself, what? She said, I've been had this check over a week, but I wouldn't cash it because I did not want to spend your money. And I may have gotten to spend it and, you know, didn't remember because I'm excited to spend. And she said, so I said, hold on to the check. Eventually, she's going to circus. I went with this lady to the bank in her car. She cashed the check and she came back and she gave me a couple of $100. Do y'all hear that? For doing taxes back then, a couple of $100. I told her about the boxes. She said, well, come on, I'll take you to the post office to ship them. Went to the post office, shipped the boxes off. I came back, and I said, you're getting out of here today. And then I said, well, let me call and make sure. So they told me the next afternoon I could leave with my ticket. So I showered up, got dressed and everything, and I took those clothes that I wore the day before, threw those away, opened the door, let my friends came in and got all the furniture and pots and pans and whatever else they wanted to get. And it was really nothing left when they got through. Nothing left for me to move, take out, I swept and mopped the house up and took a couple of bags on the front porch that I had that I wanted to bring and went on to the bus station. I called a Greyhound. Caught the Greyhound on back to Florida. In a few weeks, the old boss came, offered me $700 a week to go to work after taxes. I jumped on it, y'all. Jumped on it. But went summer everywhere in Orlando, up and down the street, obeying God. The church folks, they really didn't have nothing for me because they had never saw God move the way he moved me. Everybody in the building would be blessed, even the children. God would use me to tell the parents, you know, what to do for the children and what kind of child it was. And they had never saw that before, so they felt like it was strange. But now, I will tell you this. As long as I was prophesying to the pastor of things that God would do for him, everything was hunky-dory. Yeah. And then they cut it off. Yeah. I said, okay, Lord, you do. I'm going on. And I would walk up and down the street and minister to people. And on the job, I would pray for people and go on. Every Monday, I would take pastries to work for everybody on my shift. Yeah. So all from 93 to 2022, you can't tell me about God and what he won't do and what he can't do. Now, I can't hear that. And anybody tell me there is no God, I see him as a fool. I'm just honest. Because of this, there is a God, Jehovah, Almighty God, who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. That if we'll believe on this son, we won't perish, but have everlasting life. But all of this is to investigate, I would say. You got to search for, you got to seek, you got to study. Yeah. And you'll find all of these things I've told you about God is true. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's not just a way maker. He is the way. He's the son of the true and living God. He's got all power. I think all of this you'll find out is true for yourself. The word is true. It's solid. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You will find all of this out for yourself, but you must give God a chance, and you must let go and let God have his way in your life. I see a lot of people, they're in control of their own stuff. They control how they go to church. They control what they do in church. Yeah, they control what they do outside the church. You said this God ministry, but you're controlling it. I found out he had called me to ministry. I let that go too, but I had never been in ministry. Lord, you have your way. And the prophet had already come, Prince Yelda. Oh, that's my boy. Prince Yelda had come, and he told me this. He said that you have a strange ministry, which I knew. He said, God told me to tell you got a strange ministry. He said, and Barbara Mack hundreds have been saved under that strange ministry. He said, you don't even understand it yourself. And I don't. I didn't then, and I don't now. So what I did, because I didn't understand, and I didn't want to be in the way of God, and I told him to use me in your service to bless your people, I'm yours. Have your way in me. Let my will become your will. I just let it go. And so God used me however he chooses to use me. But after he used me, I always get a testimony. Now, some people who are in control of their life, they're looking for it to come a certain way. And if it don't come that way, they write it off. They throw it in the garbage because it didn't come the way they think it should have come. He didn't say to me what he should have said to me. He didn't say to me what I can remember morning, Sister Spinner would say, I prayed this morning and I said, Lord, let Sister Barbara have a word for me today, Lord. I need encouraging. I need motivation, whatever she needed. And that particular morning, I would prophesy to Andrea Spinner. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's many more, but she was included, and sometimes she would be last. She said, so the Barbara, I prayed for that. And God heard and did it this morning through you. And yesterday she was reminding me of, that woman. I said, Lord, I thank you. I've had people to say, well, how did you know I was going through that? I didn't. God knew. I'm a vessel he can use at anywhere, anytime, in any place. That's my prayer. I don't care if it make me look like a fool. I don't care if it make me sound like a fool. As long as I know it's the move of God, I could care less what people think. Because in that great and notable day when I stand before him, he's the last judge. See, folk are judging right now here on the earth. And for me, you judging me means nothing. But that great and notable day, he's the last judge. And his judgment that day means everything in the world to me because it's going to determine if heaven is going to be my home or hell is going to be my home. Yeah. But I'm thankful this morning we can trust him. He's the only one we can trust. And this is what he said concerning trust no man. Now, this is what he said. I didn't say it. You can't hold it against me. I wasn't there when he inspired man to write it, but I believe it. I truly do. He said, trust no man. See, because we put our trust in people, and sometimes they can't be there. Yesterday, I couldn't be there for people. I had to go do a job. I couldn't be there. I got back as early as I could, and I pushed it. And didn't even realize I had a doctor's appointment yesterday at 3:15. I pushed it, got back at 2:30, looked at it, I got to go, and I ran to the doctor. We got the paperwork and everything done, what I needed to get done with her, and I come home. I was so tired. And I said, look, you're going to have to take a nap or get somewhere because you can't give people no more. If you do, you're going to give them the wrong thing because you dog tired. So I said, take off. My mama had an appointment, went this, that, and the other. And I told her, the mama sounds so tired. I said, yeah, I am tired, baby. She said, woman, go take a nap. Go lay down. I never heard her talk to me like this. I think it's time to go take a nap then, Barbara. Yeah, and I went to bed early so that I could wake up refreshed this morning. And I drank some ginger ale, and I shouldn't have drank that ginger ale because it had sugar in it. But I wasn't thinking about the sugar. I was thinking about the ginger part. So I know now, don't bother, ginger ale is still soda. You can make your own ginger beer, you know, with water and ginger, but don't fool with ginger ale. So I'm grateful this morning that I know him for myself. I'm grateful unto him and appreciate him this morning because he make ways where I see no ways. I'm thankful unto him today because I can call on him anywhere, at any time, in any place. He's never too busy for Barbara. Never. I don't care when I call upon him. He don't say, well, let me get back to you. I'm busy. Nope. Listen to what I have to say. Hallelujah. And he does the same for you, whether you know it or not. He patiently hears what you have to say. And he loves answering you. He loves to answer us, should I say. He loves answering us. Yeah. And he loves to see us happy. He loves it. He loves it. Yeah. He want to see us happy. He want to see us joyful. He want to see us living in peace. He want to see us doing good. But many times we don't think like this because we're so busy trying to do what we're trying to do. And we got to learn to let go and let God have his way over and over and over again. Let it go so God can have his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We talked about it yesterday. We don't want to live in clutter. And today they have another name for us. Yeah. Hoarders. Anybody ever heard that? So we don't want to be hoarders. See, what they did wrong to me yesterday, I don't want to hold on to that. The lie they told on me 5 years ago, I don't want to hold on to that. The tricks they pulled, one came to talk to me to see if I had something to say about the other one. And when I didn't have nothing negative to say, they made something negative to go back and tell. I don't want to think on that. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised, but we here today. And I want to think on the goodness of Almighty God. Because one thing about him, vengeance is his. He even said this in his word. He inspired man to write it. Let the wheat and the tare grow together. In the day of harvest, I'll do the separate. So I don't have to take revenge on nobody. I don't have to focus on it, think about it, none of that. I can let it go because I gave it to him. I gave it to him who the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. I gave it to him that rules heaven and earth, all power. So no need for me to fret, no need for me to be upset with nobody, no need for me to run around, oh, they lied on me, oh, they, no, I just don't have the time. I'm busy over here. Last night I did get to read a little bit. I sat and read a little bit. I think what they call the good book. Oh, I love it this morning. Yeah, got a chance to read the scriptures. For myself. Glory, hallelujah. His word holds true. And he woke me up this morning, closed in my right mind with a mind to come to him. Yeah. With a mind to remember him today. Hallelujah. With a mind to come and talk about his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. Amen goes right there. I'm excited this morning. Right there, right there. Because he thought enough of me to use me this morning to talk about him. And again, today and every day, without him, we can do nothing. So I give him glory. I pray and I ask him to give me the words to give to his people that will encourage and inspire his people, that will cause you to draw closer to him. Not me, not Jesus in the Morning, not Freedom Doors Ministries, not the big, beautiful Christian women group, not you. Yeah, but him. Who is him, Barbara? Almighty God Jehovah that have all power. There's no higher power than he is. Hallelujah. And he have the last word on everything. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. He's got the last word. I've been in an interview. They had me to come twice. And at the second interview, they told me they didn't think they could use my services. But thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful afternoon. But before I left home, God had said, yes, the job is yours. And the interviewer said it wasn't. It come to me, report what you believe. And I would tell myself, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. His report said, I'm healed, I'm filled, I have the victory. And I would go on. And when I get back home, on the answering machine, they had left a message. Please come back. Please call us. We would like to talk to you again. We figured out this, this, and this. Yet a man told me one time, he said, you know, we can't this. And he said, but you know, there's another way. I figured out this, this. They said no. God said, yeah. The answer was yeah, all the way around. Even when they were saying no, the answer was still yes. Why? He's got all power. I'm going to believe his report. His report said, I'm the head and not the tail. His report says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. His report says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loves me. His report says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, even fly an airplane at the age of 65. I can do all things through him. His report says, I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Somebody ought to tell God glory right there. Hallelujah unto your master. Amen goes right there this morning. He got us. He got us covered. He already done paid the price that we be winners. If we received him as our Lord and Savior, we'll never lose us no more. Now, before I come to him, I may have been a loser. But once I came to him in the fullness and gave him my whole life and asked him to come into my heart and live forever, that's what he's doing. And guess what? I'm a winner. He made it possible for me to be a winner. So I can't let evil tell me I'm a loser. I can't let my body dictate to me what's going on. When he said, I'm a winner, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and never beneath. No knee pain, no back pain, No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I speak to it with authority from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I look, I eat the good of the land. I went yesterday and I lost, I think it's 4 pounds I got off. Somebody tell the Lord thank you. Mary Ann, I got the 4 pounds off. I didn't know how to act. I didn't even want to eat yesterday either. And Nikki said, oh, no, you got to eat something now. You got to keep nibbling on these point-free vegetables or point-free fruit. Don't you stop eating now and stick to your point dinner. I had about 18 points left yesterday, so I was able to have me a sandwich. I wanted one. Huh? Look at God. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Yeah. And I want to be as faithful unto him. Hallelujah, because he will give you a crown of life that will never fade away. If we could just be faithful, if we could just remember to work for him, if we could just remember he's a God that believes in serving. He serves us, and we need to serve others. The world is in, the mess is in because the church didn't do its job, I believe. Yeah, and God knew the church. Excuse me, the church wouldn't do its job. God knew that. He knew we wouldn't go into the hedges and highways and preach the gospel. He knew we wouldn't testify. He knew we'd sit back to my, I don't want people to know my business. He knew we would sit back and say, nah, I can't say nothing. I'm too shy. But he wasn't shy on the cross for you when he suffered. Before he got to the cross, he wasn't shy and ashamed of you. He went on through it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't there talking about, I'm too shy to let them arrest me. I'm going on back to heaven. No. He went on through everything for us. And we should wake up and get up and go on through for him. We should wake up and get up and serve God with our whole heart. You're giving the whole thing. Don't keep nothing back. Pray for a heart of flesh, and even when you hear his word, you'll never harden your heart, but you'll obey in the name of Jesus. I feel all right this morning. Amen. Goes right there. Listen, I got to go to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, we're coming back with our prayer, our scripture reading, and we are over in 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter. And we're going to find out in here, you can't trust people. You got to be careful. We can only trust God. And we got to pray for discernment so we'll know who's on our side and who's not for us. Hallelujah. Are we going to one more song of the morning? And when we come back, prayer and scripture.
Every prayer. praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. So take it out. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise is to our God.
God moves. Yeah, and he moves in a mighty way. Listen to this. When the apostles all got in one place on one accord, the promise that God promised he would send back, in the book of Acts it says the Holy Ghost came. Jesus told him he wasn't going to leave them comfortless, that the Father was going to send back the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's what the book of Acts talks about. Over, I believe it's in that first and second chapter. But they was in one place at one time on one accord. And if we could get on one accord and begin to praise God, I'm telling you, things would change. Things would turn around. I needed a breakthrough. I was going through some stuff. I praised my way through. And God brought me out of the breakthrough. He broke it. He broke it. And what I needed, I had. Not only did I get the lesson from the trial, but he blessed me materialistic. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there this morning. I feel all right right there. So look, we're going into prayer. And after prayer, we're going to 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter. We saw what happened yesterday. Yeah, I was so excited. I love that, those Samuels and those kings. Yes, I love those books. And after that come the Chronicles. But let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for another Wednesday morning. Lord, many call this hump day. They say they over the hump today. And this is to them the middle of the week. But Father, we thank you for all you've done already, what you're doing right now. And Father, what you're going to do, great and mighty things for us. We look up to you daily for satisfaction. We look up to you daily for healings. We look up to you daily to be excited in you according to your word, according to your move. We thank you this morning. You're almighty God who have all power. Jehovah, there's no higher power. You're the God that so loved the world that you sent your only son, Jesus, that if we'll believe on him, we won't perish but have everlasting life. We come this morning grateful unto you. We come this morning, we appreciate you. We love you today. For Father, it was you who first loved us. Without your love, we wouldn't know what love is. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, most of all your love this morning. We thank you, Father, for loving us enough to save us, for loving us to bring us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Because many times the light shines in darkness, Father, and darkness comprehend it not. Oh, but you blessed us to come to you. You blessed us to come to the light. And we thank you this morning. We come bringing every caller and every listener this morning. Father, I ask that you would bless every household represented here today, every caller, every listener, those coming through the archives, those coming through the podcast. God, move today by your spirit for these your people. You know what your people stand in the need of today. Lord, someone may not have a place to live. Move this morning. Move for the woman who don't have a place for her children, the father who don't have a place for his wife and children. Move today for those that just need a place, God. We know that what you give will add no sorrow. You give good gifts. Do it for these your people today. Somebody struggling with a house payment, a house rent. Somebody struggling with a car payment, God, a car insurance, medical bills. Lord, we ask this morning that you would take it up on their behalf in the name of Jesus. Somebody struggling to go back to school. Somebody want to do something. They just don't have the finances, God. We touch and agree this morning that you would open every door that needs to be opened to them today in the name of Jesus. Father, without you, we can do nothing. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. Help us today. We come to all power. We come to you because you have all power. We come to you this morning because the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And Father, somebody needs to be saved this morning. Somebody needs to be delivered. Somebody needs to be decluttered this morning. Somebody's suffering with mental health illnesses this morning. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would fix it all this morning, touch and heal. Fix what needs to be fixed. Deliver who needs to be delivered today. And we all need to be delivered, oh God. Do it for your glory this morning. And Father, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. special people like never before this day, June the 15th, 2022, in our time, in the now, God. We know you're able. We believe you're willing. And we come asking, because if we ask, it'll be given. We're asking you. We're seeking you. We're knocking on your door for it today, Lord. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing this morning. Hey, Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless every family member here. Every family member represented, every friend near and far this morning in the name of Jesus. Remember those here that are sick this morning, oh God. Touch and heal their bodies. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, we believe there's still healing in the hem of your garment, and we're reaching in to touch this morning for total healing, spiritually, physically, and mentally, oh God. Do it for us, your people, today in the name of Jesus. You gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Help us to keep a sound mind. Help us to love right like you love. And God, show us how to use the power that's given unto us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, remember those this morning that are incarcerated. Those that are lifting up your name and all others unto you. Father, many don't really understand it all, but God, I know you're a God of wisdom. And Lord, give them your wisdom that they can spread your word and even more and lift you up in praise even more so that you can draw inside the prison. God, you'll draw every Muslim. Hallelujah. Oh, you're able, God. Every atheist. God, we know that you are able. Hallelujah. And we trust you this morning. Strengthen the hand of the brethren there. Strengthen the hand of the sisters there, God. That's lifting you up. That's praying and seeking your face. Not to get out. You would do a work in the prison. Even in the administration of the prison. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless those that are incarcerated. Those that are in every branch of the military. Every branch. And the administration of our military. God, move by your spirit for these your people. Bless their families. Strengthen them, God, while they're away to keep us safe. And Lord, when we see these people, let us give them honor. Let us tell them thank you, God, for the services they've done for us in the name of Jesus. Bless our brothers and sisters overseas. And Lord, bless those that stand in special need. They can't talk about you. They can't read about you out loud. But Lord, we ask that you would send your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you. Father, bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people everywhere. Preachers, everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, continue to bless Israel. Lucian, protecting angels continually for them, oh God, to stand watch, to shield and protect. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We ask this morning, Father, that you would bless these United States of America. Bless America, oh God, in the leadership. Have mercy this morning. God, whatever is crooked, we are depending on you to make it straight. For the earth again is yours, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. We know that you won't come against no one will, but God, we got a way. We know that you can make a way, that we come back to you with our whole heart, and that God, things would turn around. For evil has come throughout the land and has taken hold on the minds of the people. Have mercy this morning, oh God, and set us free. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today. Move by your spirit. Feed us, Lord, until we want no more. Give us your word that, God, we would apply to our everyday life. Help us to walk according to your word, not our, but your word, not our flesh, oh God, but your word today. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you this morning. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we can't thank you enough, God. You've been good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, what a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. None like him. And I'm so thankful for the touch this morning, his touch. Hallelujah. Thankful for his anointing. Hallelujah. That can flow. Hallelujah. Upon us. Oh, we're thankful. We're thankful. So look, we're going to take a look at 2 Samuel this morning. And we're looking at the 20th verse of 2 Samuel. And we might go back just a little bit to 19, I think. And we'll come right back up to 20. It won't take but a few minutes. But I wanted to go back over a little something there and remind us of a few things, you know, that God has said or he has done. And, you know, bring us up to speed, as I often say, of what's going on, you know, in 2 Samuel chapter 20, what took place in 19, you know, it kind of help us to come up to speed. So look, I got to go to the parallel view because my basic English Bible students, that's how they like to see it. That's how they like to hear it. And it's plain and simple for them, and they enjoy it. So I like to bless them to enjoy what they can work with. Yeah. Some of us all timers, as they say, we can understand the King James Version to the letter, many of us, but there are those who like it, you know, in everyday English, everyday language, I should say. So they like the basic English Bible. I don't have a problem with that because on the other side, right next to it, is King James. Yeah. So I know if I'm telling you the right thing, yeah, what it's reading, in other words. Yesterday, I had so much fun. Oh, and I hope y'all don't say, well, that woman is crazy. She just let that Jerry crowd just come and do all kind of foolishness. But look, I had a wonderful laugh. Laughter is like medication. And that's just Jerry over there clowning after she done, you know, said what she feel like God would have her to say, something encouraging. And then she want to come back with something funny. And Irene told her, every praise is more than pie. Oh, my goodness, that just tickled me. And then Pastor David, oh, he put the icing on the cake. I couldn't even read his, y'all. Louis and I, they're excited, yeah, about food. And so we just thank God today. We just thank him for fun and laughter and love for one another, because I take care of that Jerry the best that she let me. Yeah, I'm always going over there if I can. And she said, come on over, I come, do this, do that, whatever I can do to help her out. And, but, you know, she the kind, she's not a user. That's not her. So whatever she can do for herself is done. Barbara, I don't need you to do that. Yeah, I got this, you know. But I know she from that old school, and we from the same side of town. And so I know what was over there, and I know, you know, the things that we like from over there. So when I find it, I go get it and bring it back for Jerry. And Jerry can't eat all them sweets, but we knew from day one that's all she want to do is eat dessert, no food. But the Lord got her jacked up. Now she eat a little bit of food, ate a little bit of lima bean broth, what we call the pot liquor off the lima beans, a little rice, and a little ham yesterday. So that was a big thing. Yeah, when she eat the little potato salad and the cornbread, that's a big thing because all she wanted is sweets. Uh-huh. But they getting off them sweets. The Lord is working. So I wanted to share that so nobody don't feel bad and feel like, oh, they over there playing. No, all of this was after the word come forth. Yeah. That's when we got into that. And I don't think the Lord had a problem with it. One more thing, intercessor, Sister Sharon, Brother Frank and his sister, please keep them lifted up in prayer for me. Yeah, I'm praying for them as well. And we all touching and agreeing that God will heal, that he will give what they need in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's get started here. In 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, starting at the first verse, it says, and word was given to Joab. Well, wait a minute. 19. I want to go down a little bit. Okay, let's go right here. Where did he come on the scene there? Amasa. Well, anyway, we're going to go down to 13. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 13. And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? May God's punishment be on me if I do not make you chief of the army before me at all times in place of Joab. Now, sometimes we get it twisted, and sometimes we're not using discernment. We're looking in the natural. And sometimes things we want, this person got it, so we're going to do something to make them trust us, and we feel like we can trust them. But when it's said and done, we trusted the wrong people. So this is why discernment is important. Prayer is very important. And asking God about it before we make a move. I'm raising my right hand because I'm guilty. I have stepped out without acknowledging God. And it turned out ugly. But every time I acknowledge him, many times he'll tell us, yeah, step on out there. And we remember David said, should I go up? He said, yeah, go up and you're going to conquer them. I'm going to put them in your hand today. So and this is one of them cases that David, I believe, trusted the wrong person. But 13 said, and say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? May God's punishment be on me if I do not make you chief of the army before me at all times in place of Joab. 14 says, and the hearts of the men of Judah were moved like one man, so that they sent to the king, saying, come back with all your servants. 15, so the king came back and came as far as Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal, meeting the king there to take him back with them over Jordan. Verse 16 says, and Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim got up quickly and went down with the men of Judah for the purpose of meeting King David. And with him, 1,000 men of Benjamin and Ziba, the servant of Saul, with his 15 sons and 20 servants came rushing to Jordan before the king and kept going across the river to take the people of the king's house over and to do whatever was desired by the king. And Shimei, the son of Gera, went down on his face in the dust before the king when he was about to go over Jordan. 19 says, and said to him, let me not be judged as a sinner in your eyes, O Lord, O my Lord, and do not keep in mind the wrong I did on the day when the Lord, the king, went out of Jerusalem, or take it to heart. Yeah, he come to repent because remember he out there cussing him out. I mean, cuss David out real good. So now he repent. Okay. 20 says, for your servant is conscious of his sin. And so as you see, I have come today, the first of all the sons of Joseph, for the purpose of meeting my Lord the king. 21 says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said, is not death the right fate for Shimei? Because he has been cursing the one marred by the holy oil. I like that right there. That's what he said about Saul. He said, no, I know y'all not going to come against King Saul. I was there when they put the holy oil on him. Yeah. And see, we used to say the anointed oil, olive oil or something, but he said that holy oil. Oh, yeah. So 22 says, and David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you put yourselves against me today? Is it right for any man in Israel to be put to death today? For I am certain today that I am king in Israel. David was happy. I ain't killing nobody. 23, so the king said to Shimei, you will not be put to death. And the king gave him his oath. Yeah. And look, 24. Remember we talked about Mephibosheth. And he asked him, Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? Why did you stay? And he told him, I wanted to go. And I told the servant I wanted to go, but he wouldn't get my horse ready. And because Mephibosheth, the nurse failed with him, and it messed up his foot when he was a child. Yeah. So I wanted to remind you of Amasa. I wanted to remind you of that name. Keep that name in mind, Amasa. Yeah. And so now we're going on over to chapter 20 of 2 Samuel. And we're going to start at the first verse. Now, by chance, there was present a good-for-nothing person named Sheba. Did you hear what they said about Sheba? Yeah. Over in the King James Version, in verse 1, it says, and there happened to be there a man of Belial. That's the devil. Whose name was Sheba, the son of Abitra, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So Sheba said, no, we're not going to be down with David. All y'all men of Israel, get to your tents. We're not going to have nothing to do with David. Remember that now. Remember Amasa and remember the name Sheba. So verse 2 says, so all the men of Israel turning away from David went after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Bichri. But the men of Judah were true to their king, going with him from Jordan as far as Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, and David came to his house at Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 women to whom he had given the care of the house and had them shut up and gave them the necessities of life, but did not go near them. So they were shut up till the day of their death, living as widows. Y'all remember what happened? Remember God told Nathan to tell David, in the sunlight. Things will be done against you from your own house, from within your house, your family. Your seed, in other words, your children. Those women you married, all of this, you're not going to have peace in there always. It's going to always be turmoil in there because you kill Uriah, David. So Absalom took the king's wives and went on top of the house so that everybody could see. And had sex with them on top of the house so everybody could see what was going on. Because he had declared himself as king. Yeah. So look, these 10 women who he left to keep the house, Absalom done went, but David done come back. Now he got to shut them up. He took good care of them, but he could never go in with them again. And they died widowers. Yeah. Verse 4 says, then the king said to Amasa, remember that name, get all the men of Judah together. 3 days, be here yourself. Now, look now, Solomon was the wisest man, and that was David's son. But my second oldest daughter often tell me when she do something, and I say something, she said, what is it, the chips don't fall far from the tree. The fruit don't fall far from the tree, or something she tell me. So it let me know that God blessed Solomon to be the wisest man. I believe it was the wisest ever lived. But you got to look at his father. He had to come from something wise, something with wisdom, in order for God to fulfill him fully with the most ever wisdom. His daddy was not a dummy. Yeah, his daddy made some mistakes. His daddy let his flesh rule him many times, but he wasn't no fool now. And I believe David could see. I believe he had the gift to see spiritually, to know some things. He had to be king. No dummy running no kingdom. No fool is over. Anyway, verse 5 says, so Amasa went to get all the men of Judah together, but he took longer than the time David had given him. Now look at this. He was gone too long. The king knew how long it would take to get something, so the king assigned him and said, get it done. And I said to himself, I know it should be done in this amount of time. But when David didn't hear from him, verse 6 says, and David said to Abishai, Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more damage than Absalom did. So take some of your lords, take some of your lord's servants and go after him before he makes himself safe in the walled town and get away before your eyes. Look, y'all go get him, capture him, catch him before he get to a town, because he going to secure himself in the town and it's walled around. You won't be able to get there and get him. He going to get away right before you. So look. And verse 7, so they went after Abishai, Joab, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the fighting men that went out of Jerusalem. They went out of Jerusalem to overtake Sheba, the son of Bichri. Oh, yeah. It's on. 8 says, when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came face to face with them. Now Joab had on his war dress and round him a band from which his sword was hanging in its cover. And while he was walking, it came out, falling to the earth. Verse 9 says, and Joab said to Amasa, is it well, my brother? And with his right hand, he took him by the hair of his chin to give him a kiss. Verse 10 says, but Amasa did not see danger from the sword, which was now in Joab's left hand. And Joab put it through his stomach so that his inside came out onto the earth. And he did not give him another blow. So Joab and his brother Abishai went on after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Look, they didn't waste no time. David said, go check it out. And if you don't get there and stop all of this, it's going to be worse for us than it was with my son Absalom when he was after us. So he caught, Joab got that Amasa, stabbed him in his belly. All his bowels and everything just gushed out to the ground. Oh, yeah. Okay. So look, we're going on to verse 11. And one of Joab's young men, taking his place at Amasa's side, said, whoever is for Joab and for David, let him go after Joab. Verse 12 said, and Amasa was stretched out in a pool of blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people were stopping, he took Amasa out of the highway and put him in a field with a cloth over him. When he saw that everyone who went by came to a stop. Yeah, that must have been something to see. A man all bloody scrambling around in the road. Yeah. All his intestines. No, I wouldn't have wanted to stop and see that. 13 says, when he had been taken off the road, all the people went on after Joab, in search of Sheba. Remember that name, the son of Betri. 14 says, and Sheba went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Beth Machah, and all the Bertrites came together and went in after him. And Joab and his men got him shut up in Abel of Beth Machah, Machah, and put up an earthwork against the town. And all Joab's men did their best to get the wall broken. And then David told him, go on, hell up now, because if you don't, he going to get in a walled town and you'll never get him. He'll get away from you right before your very eyes. So y'all get on to that walled town and take care of it. And see, one thing about it, when the king said to do something, you wanted to get it done and done to the best of your ability. You never want to go back with a bad report on your behalf that you didn't do right before the king. Yeah. So, where we at? All right, we're going back to 14. And Sheba went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Beth Machah. Beth Machah. Yeah. And all the Bertrites came together and went in after him. 15 says, and Joab and his men got him shut up in Abel of Beth Machah and put up an earthwork against the town, and all Joab's men did their best to get the wall broken down. Check this out. 16 says, then a wise woman got up on the wall and crying out from the town said, give ear, say now to Joab, come near so that I may have talk with you. 17 says, and he came near, and the woman said, are you Joab? And he said, in answer, I am. Then she said, give ear to your servant's words. And he said, I'm giving ear. In other words, listen to me. And he said, I'm listening. And so 18 says, then she said, in the old days, there was a saying, let them be put the question in Abel and in Dan, saying, has what was ordered by men of good faith in Israel ever come to an end? 19 says, your purpose is the destruction of a mother town in Israel. Why would you put an end to the heritage of the Lord? 20 says, and Joab answered her, said, far, far be it from me to be a cause of death or destruction. 21 says, not so, but a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, son of Betri, by name has taken up arms against the king, against David. Give up this man only, and I will go away from the town. And the woman said to Joab, his head will be dropped over the wall to you. Remember Sheba? Yes. She said that his head would be dropped over the wall to you. Joab, we're going to give you his head. In other words, you're not going to tear up this town. You don't want nobody out of this town but Sheba. We're going to put his head over the wall. Just be waiting for it. Now, you catch his head because me sending it. So look, 22 says, see, let me tell you. If God appointed somebody, before we get to 22, if God anointed, he has appointed someone, you may not like the way they do things. I recommend you pray for them. I recommend you go to God and ask God to touch their hearts or minds or whatever you want to say to get them to understand you want to do something good. Don't go against these people. Don't come up against God's anointing, is what I'm telling you. If you don't understand it, get somewhere and pray. Shut your mouth and pray. You find yourself in a world of trouble now. Because God anointed this. He anointed David. And he appointed David for that job. All kind of stuff didn't come up against David because David done wrong. But he went to God and repented from a sincere heart. So God said David was a man after his own heart, even after doing what he did to Uriah, but he repented. And this is what I want us to see. If we go to God asking for forgiveness, he forgive us. It's over with. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He don't ever remember it again. It's us that keep bringing it up. Lord, in 1982, you know, I went with that woman husband. God, you, when you came to the altar, you asked him to forgive you, and he did. Don't keep going back to it. We want to pray now for discernment. And God, anytime we, anything come up and if we need deliverance from it, God, deliver us. But we want discernment to keep going in you to know right from wrong and who to trust and who not to trust. What to do and what not to do. Help us today, Lord Jesus. I'm always praying for deliverance. Always. Deliver me. Because I strive for perfection. I strive to be a perfectionist in him. And if I'm not repenting, if I'm not praying to be delivered, I think I done made it then. And I have not. I have not stood before the great judge to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I didn't get there yet. I'm working on getting there. I'm praying to prepare daily for his return. Because we have to prepare every day for his return. Because we don't know the day nor the hour when he's coming back, but we know he's coming back. He said he would. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there this morning. So Luke 22 now. Then the woman in her wisdom had talked with all the town. Look what she did now. She went to before everybody and told them, look here. Y'all don't throw the Sheba head over the wall. David's men, and y'all know how they are. They're going to tear this town up and kill all of us most likely. So look, this one Sheba, he evil. That's just going to give him the head, and they going on down the road. So look, the woman in her wisdom had a talk with all the town. And they had Sheba's head cut off and sent out to Joab. And he had the horn sounded and sent them all away from the town, every man to his tent. And Joab went back to Jerusalem to the king. It's a good thing when I can come back to God and say, Lord, these are they. God, you told me this and that. Lord, I went over the hilltop. I fed the children over there, God. Lord, I went and I took Miss Jones to the doctor. Whatever he said to go do, because see, God and Jesus is our king. And whatever he said to go do, I went and did it to the best of my ability. I got the job done. So now I can go back to him. Lord, I went to the prison and I did what you said. Huh? Yeah. Lord, you sent me to Kissimmee. I went down to God. I was going to bring one message, but you gave me another. And I obeyed. I did what you said. It's a good feeling to go back to God with a good report. So Joab got to go back to the king with a good report. 23 says, now Joab was over all the army. Because see, David had put Amasai. Yeah, over Israel, I believe it was. But now Joab was over all the army. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was at the head of the Sherethites and the Pelethites. There's some thites in there. I tell you, thites in there. 24 said, and Adoram was overseer of the forest work. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was the recorder. And Sheba was the scribe, and Zadok and Abathar were priests. And in addition, Ira and Jarethite was a priest of David. All right. And we're moving on to 21. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Abathar and Sheba. bit the dust. They had to go. They wasn't going to do the king right. And Osheba, oh my goodness, every man to his tent, we not for them. We're not going to follow David. We don't have nothing to do with him. David come humble trying to be a part. And he would have blessed Amaziah and blessed Sheba. And sometimes the preacher, the pastor want to bless you. And he want to bless your family, but he can't do it because you're so against him. Every time he say something about, you know, what he going to do so that he can bless you, you cut it down. He said, well, this week we're going to have a concert, and we asking the saints of God, everybody buy a $25 ticket. Because many go to many fast food places and they eat more than $25 worth of junk food, sodas and chips, and all kind of craziness. McDonald's foolishness. So he said, everybody just buy concert tickets. And he didn't tell you what he was going to do with the money, but it's in his heart to take the money and bless the family of this crazy person, this nut, this fool. So he going to stand up and say, no, we don't need to have no concert and buy no tickets. If you're going to do a concert, it should be for free. And the pastor... And the pastor just looking, because Lord, I was going to take the money and bless him and his family. He getting unemployment, so he ain't getting as much as he used to with a whole paycheck. He just getting a portion. And every time I try to do something for him, he cut it down. You got people like that. And you got people who do not forgive. I don't care what you say. Because see, to forgive is to forget. That's the word. When God put out sins in the sea of forgiveness, he never remembered no more. Do it say he forgave, but he didn't forget? No, it does not say that. He forgot them. He threw them away. But we say we forgive, but we don't forget. You ain't forgave. If you can remember that thing, you didn't forgive them. And some people, if you, the least of thing you do, they bring that old thing up. Yeah, in 1975, they cussed me out. Not a day they moved my Bible off the pew. I was going to sit there. I'm just telling you the truth. And we have to pray for church folks. That's it. Well, we pray for God folks too, but there's a difference in church folks and the people of God. There is a big difference. Church folks go to church. They go to the building. And they go to the building to be a part of something. It's like a social club to them. Some of them been in there 30 years and have not changed yet. Same old, same old. Some of them been in there and all they go for is a dress up. Every Sunday they can have a new outfit on. Every Sunday they can have a new suit. And the man, he get him a hat to match his suit and some shoes. The woman, she get her a hat and some shoes to match her outfit every Sunday because they're in a social club. But the people of God, we go to lift up the name of Jesus. We go to fellowship. We go to hear the word of God. We go to be a blessing. We go to give to God. We give our tithes, our offering, we plant seeds, or we may have bought a big plant for the church or whatever. I bought a keyboard, an organ. I was so happy. Oh, goodness. Bought a $3,000 drum set. You couldn't tell me nothing. $1,400 worth of speakers, $700 for this one and $700 for that one. Ain't nothing you can tell me. I was being a blessing to the house of God. And guess what? People complained about me to the bishop. And he didn't want to tell my business, but he had to tell some of them so that they could calm down and stay long enough to try to get saved. So he told them, look here, y'all complaining about her. I made her my assistant. She living right. And if you go to her house 4 o'clock in the evening, she praying for you and everybody in the church. And you see them speakers? Compliments of Barbara Mack. I was Mac at the time. Yeah, you see them drum? $3,000. Couple of minutes. Barbara Knight loved the ministry. Now, that didn't make it better. That made it worse now because old jealousy come up in there. And how many know jealousy, that spirit of jealousy, it'll kill you. Ooh, that thing will get so angry. It'll hurt you. I'm telling you the truth. Be careful when you find out folks jealous of you. Ease on down the road. And pray while you're easing here. And it's all right in Jesus' name. So look, we're back now at 2 Samuel 21 and the first verse. And in the days of David, they were short of food for 3 years. 3 years. Year after year. And David went before the Lord for directions. Did you hear what the king did? He went before the Lord for direction. And if we have leaders, I don't care what country you're in, and I'm going to take especially America because that's where I am. If we got leaders going before God, we're going to be all right. And if they got an ear to hear what he got to say to them and he follow instructions, oh, we're going to be victorious. We're going to help a lot of people. We're going to help other people to become where we are, how we are. We'll be able to lead them to our God who will do for them what he has done for us. When we got a leader that go before the Lord for direction. And the Lord said, on Saul and on his family, there is blood. Because he put the Gibeonites to death. Now look, God told him to go on over there and kill the Amalekites. And don't leave nothing living. Don't take nothing from over there. Destroy it all. He wouldn't do that. But the Lord said the Gibeonites, Saul put them to death. In verse 2, it says, then the king sent to the Gibeonites. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but were the last of the Amorites to whom the children of Israel had given an oath. But Saul, in his passion for the children of Israel and Judah, had made an attempt on their lives. In verse 3, it says, so David said to the Gibeonites, what may I do to you? How am I to make up to you for your wrongs, so that you may give a blessing to the heritage of the Lord? Verse 4, and the Gibeonites said to him, it is not a question of silver and gold between us and Saul or his family. Look now, I know you filthy rich, David, but it's not going to be no silver and gold. No money is going to be exchanged. Going for that. And it is now that our power to put to death any man in Israel. And he said, say then, what am I to do for you? Say, ain't no money going to get it. We'll do some blood. We want some bloodshed. We want some death. That's going to make us feel better. That's going to pay the debt. Verse 5 says, and they said to the king, as for the man by whom we were wasted and who made desires against us, to have us completely cut off from the land of Israel. Verse 6 says, let 7 men of his family be given up to us, and we will put an end to them by hanging them before the Lord in Gibeon, on the hill of the Lord. And the king said, I will give them. Yeah, because we don't want no money, David. Don't bring us no barrels of wine. We want the head. We want to kill them. We want to string them up. And that'll take care of it. So verse 7 says, but the king did not give up Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the Lord's oath made between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Verse 8 says, but the king took Ammonai and Mephibosheth, and 2 sons of Saul, to whom Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, had given birth, and the five sons of Saul's daughter, Merab, whose father was Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Lethite. Boy, it's a lot of them fights and ites in there, I'm telling you. Verse 9 says, and he gave them up to the Gibeonites, and they put them to death, hanging them on the mountain before the Lord. All seven came to their end together in the first days of grain cutting, at the start of the cutting of the barley. Verse 10 says, and Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took hair cloth, placing it on the rock as a bed for herself, from the start of the grain cutting till rain came down on them from heaven. And she did not let the birds of the air come near them by day or the beasts of the field by night. She sat there and kept them off. These right here, y'all won't eat them up and destroy their bodies. 11 says, and news was given to David of what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, one of Saul's wives, had done. Verse 12 says, and David went and took the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had taken them away secretly from the public place of Bethshan, where the Philistines had put them, hanging up the bodies there on the day when they put Saul to death in Gilboa. 13 says, and he took the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from that place, and they got together the bones of those who had been put to death by hanging. And they put, 14 says, and they put them with the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the resting place of Kish, his father, Zelah, in the country of Benjamin. They did all the king had given them orders to do. And after that, God gave ear to their prayers for the land. 15 says, and the Philistines went to war again with Israel and David. Well, look, here they come again. I would have been the Philistines. I would have got somewhere and set them down. I think I would have. I don't know. But 15 says, and the Philistines went to war again with Israel. And David went down with his people. And while they were at Gob, they had a fight with the Philistines. 16 says, and there came against David one of the offsprings of the Rephaim, whose spear was 300 shekels of brass in weight. And having a new sword, he made an attempt to put David to death. 17 says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his help, and turning on the Philistine, gave him his death blow. Then David's men took an oath and said, never again are you to go out with us to the fight, so that you may not put out the life of Israel. Yeah, King, you can't go no more. Did Louis come back? Because I wanted to tell Louis where he at. No, he didn't come back yet. Good morning, Apostle Boatwright. God bless you. He didn't come back, but I wanted to tell him this, why the king would go home. The man said, no, we can't have you out here no more, King David, because you're going to fool around and this giant going to kill you. And then Israel is blind because we don't have no leader. You know, one that God done put in there, you know, going to treat us right, David. So 18 says, now after this, there was war with the Philistines again at Gob and Sibekah. The Hushite put to death Saph, one of the offsprings of Rephaim. Now these are them giants, man. They related to Goliath. 19 says, and again there was war with the Philistines at Gob. And Elhanan, the son of Jah, the Bethlehemite, put to death Goliath, the Gittite, the stem of whose spear was like a cloth worker's rod. Ooh, 20 says, and again there was war at Gath, where there was a very tall man who had 24 fingers and toes, 6 fingers on one hand and 6 toes on his feet. He was one of the offspring of the reaper, these giants. 21 says, and when he was purposing to put shame on Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, put him to death. 22 said, these 4 were of the offspring of the Rephaim in Gath, and they came to their end by the hands of David and his servants. Let me tell you something. When God calls you to something, you're going to be the best at it. If you can trust God and let go, and go on and do what you got to do. You, no trembling, no fear. Just go on and do it, and you will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to try to get to that next one. It's 51 verses. But what we'll do is we will open up the studio a little bit early, and we'll come back with chapter 22 tomorrow. And on Friday, we have a guest coming to share testimony. Testimonies, I should say. Awesome testimonies. So on Friday, we'll have that. Tomorrow's Thursday. I don't know about anybody else, but it looked like to me this week crawled by. Did it go slow for anybody else? It looked like it just was crawling along, just creeping like a little turtle this week. Now, there are some weeks that just fly by. But now, I tell you, even the week I took off last week, it went kind of slow. It didn't go too fast, and I was thankful for that so I could enjoy those days. But this week is crawling, and usually when I come back, it just, when I know that the thing is right. Yeah. So today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. And we're grateful unto the Lord. All right, but after that, I see your hand raised. I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you, Mr. Barber. Good morning to everybody. I just want to, first of all, give God thanks for waking me up this morning. I thank him for life, effort, and strength. Keeping me in my right mind, allowing me to see another day never seen before. Thank him for the activity of my limbs. And I thank him for who he is and me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And I just want to say good morning to everybody. I've been driving all night, but I just wanted to let y'all know that I was tuning in and y'all was on my mind. And I wanted to join y'all for a little while. But just about the message of Mr. Barber and let you know on Messenger, but you said you were open the studio. So I said I'll say a couple words right fast. So I closed my eyes for a little while. But God bless everybody, and y'all keep me in y'all prayers, and I keep y'all in mind, and y'all have a blessed, wonderful day this morning. I mean, today and the rest of this week, if I don't hear from y'all or y'all don't hear from me no more this week, but I plan on getting back in tomorrow. So, Lord bless, I'll be able to tune in tomorrow in the morning. Amen.
Amen. I thank God for me pressing that one leg on here, because I know how that feels. They need some sleep, they need some rest, and don't get it. So we thank God for the testimony this morning of Brother Anthony. Thank God for him chiming in and say good morning to us, and to let us know he's praying for us, and to continue that we would pray for him. So God bless you, Brother Anthony. And just close your eyes and listen till you fall out. It'll be all right.
Amen.
In Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning, one more request. And when we come back, the studio will still be open. If anyone have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Will you be my light when I cannot see? When I can't take another step, Lord, will you carry me? And when I've lost my fight, will you be my strength? Will you set me a table in the presence of my enemies? I shall not want. I shall not want. Oh, my soul's got a shepherd in the valley, and I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. 'Cause my cup's running over, and I shall not want. And I will lift my eyes to where my help comes from, and I won't be afraid of the shadow, 'cause I've seen the sun. No, I will not stop when the way gets hard, 'cause the green only grows in the valley, and that's where you are. Say it. I shall not.
I shall not want.
for my eyes, I shall not want. I shall not want. When he's on my side, I shall not want. I'll be home in his presence forever, I shall not want. For the Lord is my shepherd in the valley. For the Lord is my shepherd when I'm lacking. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I've got everything that I need. Your goodness and your mercy are following me. Got everything that I have. Hey, hey, hey. Your goodness and your mercy are following me. If you don't have anything else, you got your goodness. I got goodness. Oh, no, no, no. Hallelujah. I thought I lost everything. I thought I lost everything. But I got goodness.
The love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah. I shall not want. Hallelujah. I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful to him this morning. I appreciate him. I love him today. I just can't help myself. He's on my side. He's always there. He's more than I need. He fixed every situation I need fixing. And I'm thankful unto Almighty God this morning. I can't help myself. Can't help myself. He's been too good to me. And still right now good to me. And many days I sit and when I think he's right here, never left me nor forsake me. Right here and gonna be with me until the end. I remember one time I seen an interview where the person said the Lord was before them, he was talking. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have to have that kind of experience because sometimes we hear things and it sounds so good. And we're like, oh, I want to do that. Lord, I want you to come right before. Guess what? He's right here with me all the time. It's not a one-time event that I get a visit from God. He stays right here. I'm protected by him. Woo! I don't have to go too far to receive from him. I don't have to drive way nowhere, fly way nowhere, then let him know what I need. All I got to do is talk to him. Just tell him, he's right here. And if he saved you, if he sanctified you, he set you aside unto himself, and he filled you with his spirit, that's all you got to do. Talk to him. Yeah, he wants us talking to him. The scripture said, come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's never busy. He's always there. I got some family members that truly love me. But sometimes when I call on them, they're not there. They're busy. They're asleep. or they at work. But this God, I could call on him anytime. And the thing about it, too, is for a reason. It don't have to be so serious that I'm contacting him. I can contact him simply because I love him. I just want to hear from you. I just want to tell you this. I just want to feel your presence. I don't need an excuse. Just reach out to him. And listen, I've learned this over the years. If he don't respond right back to what you ask for right away, at this time it won't work together for your good. If you say, Lord, I need a house. Lord, I need a car. And he don't move. At this time, what you're asking, it's not going to work out for you. It's not the season. And God does things in season. Yes, he does. So when the right season comes, you can't stop it. Anybody ever just got blessing after blessing? Every time I turn around, I'm blessed over here. I'm blessed right there. I'm blessed under there. I'm blessed on the side of there. Just blessing, blessing, blessing. Everything just going right, right, right. It's your season. And he can do it at this time because it will work together for your good. I can never accuse God of giving me something that tore me up or wrecked my life. God, you gave me this and look at it. No, that ain't what happened. I can't say this, Lord. I asked you for this and you gave it to me. You gave it to me and it just went. You asked for it. In some cases, I tried not to give it to you, but you just wouldn't let it go. And had I not opened the door for you, you were going to open a worse door that would have did you more harm. This is what you wanted. I gave it to you. Yeah. So we have to be careful. I can remember praying for all this stuff one time. And when the stuff started coming, it was not what I wanted. I went back to the Lord. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thought I wanted all of this. I said, but Lord, this is not what I want. Lord, take this away. And he did. Because he knew I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what I want. And he stepped right in and he fixed that thing. And I was so grateful unto him that he's that kind of God, that he didn't hold it against me. Well, you asked for it. I gave it to you. Now you want to bring it? You want me to move it? Well, make up your mind. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say nothing. He just removed that thing out of my way. And I was ever so grateful unto him for moving it out of my way. Yeah. Y'all heard the song that said, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. That's the way I felt. Yeah, I'm feeling better. The sun's shining again. Hallelujah. So look, the studio is still open. If there's anyone have something today they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. You can't go wrong. There are no wrong and right answers. You're just coming in to give God some glory, say something on his behalf, and you're running on in Jesus' name. Yeah, you ain't got to do all that. Hallelujah. Thankful unto him this morning. And I just downloaded, wait a minute, let me look for my song because it's my favorite song now. God made it feel. I couldn't even get to, what her name, Jacqueline Carr. I couldn't even get to that one, Sion, because I'm too hyped up on God Made It Feel. Yeah, Pastor Johnny Brown. I love that thing. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Me too. I was just listening to that song, I Shall Not Want. And then I was listening to you say we asked for stuff. Man, I asked for some stuff. I was just crying and crying. Lord, I want it. I want it. I want it. Just like Toyota, he gave it to me, he gave it to me, and then I sit there and I say, oh, Lord, no, this is not what I want. I'm in this crazy zone. Take this bitter cup from me. Because, see, some things you ask for, it looks one way, And then after you get it, it looks another way. Because now when you get all of that sin out your eyes and off of you, you're no longer in that zone over there anymore. So you just, you know, I'm a changed person. Oh, no, I don't do that. Uh-uh, no, that's not for me. But God didn't move it right away. I was like, okay. All right, Lord, you tell me what to do, and I'll just do what I got to do. All of a sudden, it just disappeared. And I was glad. But when you're in the world, you really want some stuff. You really, really want it. But as you mature and walk with God closer, you start seeing clearly. I can see clearly now that the rain is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, you see clearly. You'll be grateful for the little things. No longer the big things in life. Get me this and get me that. You'll be very grateful for the little things in life. Mm-hmm. Just the morning that I can breathe. Because I've seen it. I've seen people couldn't breathe. You'll be grateful that you can bat your eyes. Because I've seen people hurt to bat their eyes. So what I've seen in others, I don't want that no more. No, no. I think I want to walk the straight and narrow. As our mother used to say, get on that line. Don't go to the left or right. You just walk straight on that line. And I said, Mom, maybe that's what you do. But I can't walk the line because everybody messes up. And you know, I know everything. But I didn't know a doggone thing. I want to stay on the line. I told my sister-in-law, I said, girl, I love Bath and Body Works, but I love liniment smell better because it sure do help this recitals in my hip. She said, no, not Miss Bath and Body Works specially. Girl, I'll take this liniment in a minute. I'm not trying to impress the world. If I put on some Bath and Body Works, because that's what I wanted. We do work very hard to impress the opposite sex. I gave Cameron some Ike's and some Spice, and I gave him some Ralph Lauren. He went in the bathroom, went in the linen closet, and got the Irish Spring out. I said, Cameron, I gave you a lot of little nice smelling stuff. I know. I want this. He's a very low maintenance person, man. You feed Cabin a heavy meal, he good to go. He got that big old heavy meal yesterday. He's still sleeping. But then when I try to shortcut it, here, Cabin, take a McDonald's burger or something. Well, you know he's gonna be up all night because he's still hungry. The fast food do not keep you full. I don't know why. But today is a new day. And like you said, Barbara, I can't focus on yesterday. But that's a chance to take. All I have is today. And tomorrow is not promised. I don't have time to be angry about what happened yesterday. I know what did happen. The rain came and the lightning came and the thunder came. And God didn't let the lightning strike my house and burn it down. So I can't worry about what happened yesterday. I'm very grateful for today. Today is all I have. I can't worry about who I ain't paid. Because their job is to try to intimidate me. My job is to believe in God that it's going to be all right. Because he said, I got you. And that's all I got to stand on. All I got is the word of God. And I want to say thank you, God. But This teaching is really informative. I've been trying to study how many people Boaz had to see in order to get the land from David. How many people he had to go through to get it. I'm still researching that. Because we're getting close now to Ruth and Boaz. But see, Ruth didn't go out there and that in the fields with some shorty shorts on. She just went out there in the field being Ruth. No matter what people were saying, jazz it up. That Boaz, he's really rich. She didn't care about that. She was just trying to glean and get him some food. Sometimes when you stop paying attention to what other people are showing you, you receive the greatest gift from God. And you'll learn a lot about a lot of things if you just be still and know that I'm God. So thank you for your time this morning, Barbara. I did put a little food in there for Brother Louie. I didn't cook the chicken yesterday. It's in the oven today. And it's smelling very good.
Well, all right, Miss Crown.
It's not real fried, but it's being baked. It's smelling very, the aroma smells like it's Christmas.
Yeah, Brother Louie had to take Sherry to the doctor, so he's not here today. Yeah, but he'll be back. He'll be back if he can before we end here. That's impossible. You know he'll come back, but we're going.
Okay.
Are you done, Sister Jerry?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to the next song of the morning. I got a request for this one, and I love this one myself.
One day I was a walking, one day I was a talking, one day I was a living, deep in the city.
than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, yeah, I love that song right there. I like the way he sang that way from back in the day. And I'm grateful unto the Lord for good gospel music this morning and a lot of varieties of gospel music. That was Mr. Russ Taft when he set me free this morning. And we just have all kind of music, yeah. And I just thank God for it. I love music myself. And I like burning CDs and playing them in my truck when I'm riding down the road. Some I play loud, some I turn down because it's just for me, you know, that kind of stuff in the truck. And I go in and have church in my truck. Yeah, praise God. He gave it to me, and I thank him for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if there anyone else this morning have something they would like to say, it's so filled. Please feel free to press that number one and come in. Like I see Pastor David down there today. Yeah, feel free to press that number one and come in. And it will be all right. I'm going to this one right quick. And when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out this morning.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways. Trust. Now, we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blamed self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility. You'll meet other people, many of them much smarter than you are, most of them richer than you are, better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lauren Sandy was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust? The old man said, well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you. And you alone. If you're married, God help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help. You do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled. Hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, "We realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served." They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. And the Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
Somebody, I don't hear what the doctor told you. God made it fail. You don't hear me? Tell somebody God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail, it made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. Everything the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. He made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. Y'all not happy. I say y'all not happy. God made it fail. God made it fail. Everything the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. He made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. Oh, you got to just, you got to let the floor have it now. I say you got to let the floor have it. I said God made it fail. I said God made it fail. I said, hey. So we got to quit. Find you somebody that you need to prophesy to tonight in this room. Find you somebody to tell them, God made it fail. God made it fail. Everything the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. He made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. You've got to believe it, church. I need 10 more dancers. And I need 10 more dancers, that's all. If I had 10 more dancers, we'd shift this. I said, if I had 10 more dancers, we'd shift this room. I said, if we had 10 more dancers. One more time. God made it fail. God made it fail. Everything the devil tried, God made it fail. God made it fail. God made it fail. He made it fail. Everything that the devil tried. 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 I said everything. Everything. Everything.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Yes, sir. I love that one, Sion. I love that one right there. God made it fair. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fair. Yeah, I was at a place called Fairbanks, Alaska, and I injured my knee. And the devil wanted me to stop witnessing. He wanted me to stop helping folks. He wanted me to stop churching. He wanted me to stop inviting people over to the house because of the knee. But guess what? Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. I continued on with the knee braced up. I continued on cooking in a chair to feed folks. Yeah, he made it fail. Everything that that devil tried, God made it fail. Even today. Many days he try to come against me, keep me from going here and doing that. And God makes it. It's his work, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to see about the sick, the hungry, and children. Huh? I'm willing to give somebody a ride to and from the doctor, to and from the grocery store, or to and from a job interview, or whatever they got to go to, and they don't have transportation. Some people call me at the last minute because they tried everything else. And they know I'm busy and they try not to call me, but it's very important. I need to get there. Can you come and take me? Jump right on and fucking go. I don't even think about gas. Because when I need it, I just go to the service station and get me some gas. $4.89 a gallon the last time I checked. But it can be $10 a gallon. I serve the God who will provide a full tank at $10 a gallon. Go to the prison every week that I go. God provides. He made it fail. God made it fail. Everything that the devil tried, God made it fail. And I'm thankful unto him because he have the power to make everything that the devil tried, he makes it fail. Hallelujah. And if we pay close attention to the instructions of Almighty God, we will be uncommon. If we follow the instructions of God, we're going to be uncommonly blessed. Blessed in ways we've never been blessed before. But we got to have the faith. And pray today and tell the Lord to strengthen you in your faith. Lord, increase my faith in you and strengthen me as I go through the trial so that my faith can increase in you. Teach me to trust you. Help me to come to you before I make a move. Lord, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Should I sign these papers? Should I not sign these papers? Every time I turn around, somebody have a lawsuit in. And they write me, telling me my name on the list. I said, okay, then, well, you put it on there. I'm not suing nobody. You put my name on the list. When the money comes through, just send me my money. I'm not getting into it, huh? Because God have ways to bless us beyond our wildest imagination. And everything that the devil try, God gonna make it fail. Hallelujah. Because we look into the hills from which cometh our help. We trusting in God with all our heart. We're not leaning to our own understanding. And all our ways, we are acknowledging him. He's directing path. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We fear in God and depart from evil. And God come in and take everything up and bless us uncommonly. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, Pastor David. God bless you this morning. Good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you. Brother Anthony, Sister Samoa. Good morning again, Brother Anthony. God bless you. And bless you, Sister Samoa. Good morning, Sister Dorothy Goodman. God bless you this morning, Sister Jerry. Good morning. God bless you, Sister Irene. Good morning and God bless you. Sister Mary Ann, God bless you this morning. Mary Ann says she's been in that book of Samuel. She's been following that thing. God bless you this morning, Rose Brown, and Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, my God, baby. God bless you, Laura. Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah, good morning. God bless you. And Sister Alexis and Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion this morning. Good morning again, Sion. Good morning, Sister Angela Foote and Sister Anna Lee Foote. God bless you. God bless you. Angela came home from Upright, Alaska, I believe she was. And I came home and spent some time with her mama and the uncle and everybody. And something she didn't like when she got there. And she said she almost left. And now I don't get a lot of time with my mom and daddy. Ain't nobody running me away. I'm going to stay right here. She cooked for them and everything. Oh, yeah, it was just a blessing to hear what was going on, what she was doing to protect her parents. And so I thank God for that. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps. I got to call them back. I called, but I didn't get an answer. So I'm going to keep calling until I get one of them, her Bruh Hopps, one of the two. Good morning to you, Sister Michelle and Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Good morning, and God bless you all this morning. Good morning to you, Brother Louis, and Brother Jermaine, and Brother D, and our Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry. And Brother Perry, I need you, when you hear this, to give me a call or send me a text and let me know you got your brownies and cookies. I need to know that. I'll check in with you anyway later on myself. Good morning to you, Brother Lee Hamilton and Brother Cal this morning, Brother Justin Gilmore and Brother Marquez Griffin. Good morning to you. God bless each and every one. To the newcomers, God bless you. I hope you stay with us, and I hope you dial at 619-669-4609 and introduce yourself to us. We like to know the newcomers. And maybe you've been coming for a while and you never said nothing. Maybe you found the podcast. But dial that number one and come in and let us get to meet you. And then you can go back out and just sit back and listen. Those that's coming through the archives, if you get a chance one morning, call in. Let us know you're listening. Yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. If you request prayer, let me know you request prayer. And we'll be praying for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I pray for everybody that even see the name, Freedom Doors Ministry, or the name Jesus in the Morning Radio Talk Show. Yeah, we pray for you. Hallelujah, that God will move on your behalf. And I'm so thankful that he sent Irene my way all the way from Australia. And Irene has remained friends, and we stay in close touch. And she has been a blessing to me. And so I thank God for her. And thank God for each of you, because I love you all. And I'm so thankful for this faithful few that come every morning. Yeah, to hear what the Spirit of God have to say to you. I'm excited because on Friday we'll have a live special guest coming to testify of the goodness of the Lord. And oh, when I saw what this woman had gone through and how God had blessed her, I was so excited. And so proud of her for continuing on. She didn't give up. And so I'm so thankful this morning. And look at God. Look at God. He will send people your way to bless you. He will send people your way to bless you. Yeah. And you can be a blessing too. And I told her, I said, I know if you come, God going to bless you. And he going to use my mouth to bless you. I know it. I can feel it. And sometimes God will summons us. He'll send for us. We don't know he's sending for us. We just think, somebody invite me over there to interview. Somebody invite me to talk. That's how we think. But God has summoned you to come to this place so that he can bless you. And if you follow his instructions, you will be all right. The church has changed many places. And some places are not the church. They say they are. But it's man building his own empire and just using the name of God. And in some places, they done flipped the script on the Bible. They done flipped it wrong. And they teaching you what they want to teach you. And people believe in that because they not seeking God. But before Bible study and all of that, preach on Sunday and all of that, run into this and run into that, you better seek God. and ask God from a sincere heart, Lord, help me to know your truth. If this is not you, if these people are not truly a part of you, God, don't let me be a part of them. Don't let me be a part of nothing that's not you. Yeah. Because today, either you brainwashed or you bloodwashed. One of the two. Yeah, that is true. My friend, Apostle Latonia Turner, she posted that. And I follow her. Yeah, I follow her because I know God is in her. When I open up Jesus in the Morning Confectionery and Cafe, Apostle Turner came right over there. She came that day to check it out and get us some food. And I was in there putting chairs together, table and chairs. And she didn't make no bones about it, jumped right in. Hey, look at this one here. This one ain't acting like no apostle because, you know, they like to be served. This one jumped right in and went to put tables and chairs together. And when she got through, she said, what you got to eat? And she was ready then. But she jumped in helping and been my friend ever since. I had a friend's luncheon out here. And her and Pastor Deborah came all the way to Fleming Island and went down to Talons with us. And we enjoyed ourselves. Yeah. Same thing with Dr. Goodman and Sion, baby Kate. I'm having some, they drive all the way from Orlando area, all the way to Fleming Island to be a part of it. There are days they came and we just sat to the table and ate crab. Sion come and slide across to the pantry. And they're going to bring something. And I'd be like, I wish they wouldn't do that. We're not the norm, but they going to bring something. I said, if it's nothing but coffee, they bringing something. And they bought me a Keurig machine that I can put the pods in there, and I decide to put it up, and I only use it when they come. I make coffee other ways, but when I know they come, I bring out the Keurig machine so that they can pop pods in there. And sometimes Sion bring her own pod. It tickles me. She come ready and hot sauce. She bring her own bottle of Louisiana hot sauce when she come. Because I don't eat hot sauce, so I don't buy it. So when she comes, she bring it. And I dot com and sit quiet, and, you know, like the proper lady, you know, like she been trained by the queen. And I just thank God for them. Thank God for them. And they precious. And Pastor David, don't let him come. Don't let him come. Because he going to find something to do. And we was out there fixing the garage with a sensor one time. And Baby K said, that's what he do all day long. And Sion verified, said, yeah, Miss Barbara, that's him right there. He at home right there fixing something. Last time they come, he in there doing the dishes and Sion helping him. It was a beautiful thing. Me and Doc standing there looking at each other, laughing, talking. Uh-huh. And I thank God for all of these kind of people. All of these kind of folk. Brother Anthony going to come through. Would he get ready? Yeah, all the way from Carolina, all the way from Boise, Idaho. Anthony would come to Florida to see Miss Barbara. Yeah, and see, when you love like that, you tell God, thank you. Hallelujah. He's been good to you to give you folks that love you. Frank, what Frank going to do is call me and keep in touch. And back in the day, Frank, oh boy, look at him. I don't even want to talk about him no more. Frank would do anything to bless that Jesus in the morning. And I was so grateful and thankful that the Lord sent him our way. Yeah, yeah. And he's always doing something. I remember he used to be on the phone ministering to folks. And a lot of these people, he would say, well, go over there and take a listen. Even his family members, go over there and take a listen and tell me what you think. Yeah, Brother Frank. And so we're just grateful for everybody. Sister Samoa, yeah, she going to send $100 for somebody and do something for somebody. And so we're just thanking George West Perry. Yeah, that's my boy right there, too. That George West Perry, that's my boy. And so I thank God for him. I thank God for sending him our way. Brother D, yeah, and all of those. So I'm grateful unto Almighty God. For sending them my way. Yeah, Brother D and I go way back to Blog TV. And he followed me from there and been hooked up ever since. And so I'm so thankful unto God, the Hops, Kim and Mike. Yeah, they still around. Sister Rita still been coming for years. Rose Brown, I told her one time, and she's been coming ever since. Sister Stenna, yeah, told her. She found out about it through Minister Shonda and been coming ever since. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord for each of you, those coming through the podcast, yeah, and the archives. God bless you today. God bless you. So look, we're going to pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And today, find somebody to do something for. If you don't do nothing but give them a scripture, give somebody a scripture today. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give his word, I know he's satisfied. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done today. We thank you for your move here this morning. Thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, your word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as we depart this morning, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. Help us to remember to trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding and all our ways. Help us to acknowledge you. And Father, you're going to direct our path. Help us to be not wise in our own eyes. Help us to fear you and depart from evil. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, June the 15th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So again, at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back today.